like to begin by introducing our seminarian assigned the Queen of All Saints for this summer, Mr. Cameron Domain. Cameron is a third-year student at St. Joseph Seminary College near Covington, otherwise known as St. Ben's. He is a parishioner of St. John the Evangelist Cathedral at Lafayette. He'll be working most of the month of June at Lost Bayou Boy Scout Camp near Bayou Chico, and the rest of the summer here at Queen of All Saints. I'd like to welcome Cameron as he's with us today. Our own seminarian, Luke Johnson, has been assigned to St. Landry Church in Opelousas for the summer, so please pray for their perseverance in this time of formation and discernment. In other good news, another beloved priest of Ville Platte, Father Taj Glad, who is the associate pastor presently at Sacred Heart, received word from Bishop Desitel this week that he's being assigned as a pastor. So Father Glad will be going kind of far from Ville Platte, actually. He's going all the way to Plaisance. So he will be a pastor of St. Joseph in Plaisance and its mission of St. Anne in Freelo Cove. Last weekend, I told you that Bishop Desitel was a very happy man. He was ordaining three transitional deacons and preparing to ordain seven new priests later this month. But this weekend, he is not quite so happy. This weekend, he is in the parishes of St. Peter in Morrow and Resurrection in Whiteville. He's there delivering the sad news that their pastor, Father Michael Guidry, has been removed from the office of pastor and is now on administrative leave. This is due to an allegation of improper behavior with a teenager. I say this to you because, firstly, their parishes are not very far from us. We know lots of people there, lots of connections, especially between Whiteville and Ville Platte. But also because Father Mike Guidry's name is very similar to my own. So I certainly don't want you or anyone else confusing us in a case that's as serious as this. But please pray for him and for all the individuals involved for resolution and for healing. It's a terrible weekend to have this kind of news as we celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi, and it makes us kind of wonder, what are we to make about all of this? It's not the first time that a priest has been accused of some misdeed, nor is it the first time that a misdeed has actually been committed by a priest. Priests have done some very stupid things. I know that. I'm a priest. I've done stupid things. Priests have done very harmful things, hurtful things, and some have even done some criminal things. Priests have committed sin, from blasphemy to sacrilege to fornication, adultery, and sodomy. Priests have stolen money, they have raped children, some have even committed murder. Not all priests have done this, some, not all. And it's most certainly not all, at all, anything that a priest should ever be doing in the first place. But at times, it happens. I think we all know that no profession, no person is ever immune from any kind of temptation whatsoever, even temptation to do the most horrible of things. Sadly, many persons perpetuate these sins until they're caught and finally brought to task for what they have done. Nobody can point fingers because none of us ever knows what we're capable of. That's why Jesus tells us that he alone is the judge. At any given moment, it happened to any of us, when Satan can finally take advantage of your darkest, weakest hour, he can convince any of us to do the unthinkable. It can and indeed happen. And when it does, it's nobody's fault but our own. It was done by an act of our own will. Regardless of how weak we might claim to have been, we do it, we commit sin, and it's nobody else's fault. On a side note, the nation of Ireland last week decided in a national referendum to repeal that country's laws restricting abortion. Yes, Catholic Ireland, 95% Catholic Ireland, once called the land of saints and scholars, in an overwhelming majority of over 70%, decided that the unborn were no longer worthy of legal protection from legalized murder. It's hard to wrap your head around something like that. I did my research, and here's the sick part. This was not something that was forced on the Irish people by a Supreme Court, as it was in the case in the U.S. here. It wasn't forced on them by the Irish Parliament. It was not a government mandate, as in other countries. It was voted on and done deliberately by the people, decidedly by the people, Catholic people. And why? Again, my research finds, by their own admission, they said they don't want the Catholic Church telling them what to do anymore. It's that. They don't want the Catholic Church telling them what to do anymore, especially when it comes to sexual morality or human life. Why? Because priests and religious in Ireland have made some very terrible mistakes in the past. That's true. But because priests and religious have made some terrible mistakes in Ireland's past, to show their revenge, they have voted to destroy their future generations. That's how sick and twisted evil can be. So in all this anger, and all this guilt, and all this disillusionment, we are forced to ask ourselves a very serious question. What exactly is the church? What is the relevance of the church in modern times? And why do we support this institution that seems to be riddled with so much scandal and corruption? Well, first, allow me to tell you what the church is not. The church is not a purely human enterprise. It's not some club. It's not a social venture. It's nothing that's purely human at all. It's something far beyond that and bigger than us. The church was conceived, designed, and developed by God himself. And it was conceived, designed, and developed by God for the purpose of saving us from ourselves, from causing more death and destruction, so that we could turn from sin and become truly human. That means being truly holy and divine, holy by the grace of God, made in his image and likeness. The church is sustained by the will of God the Father. It is set upon its foundation and cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ, his Son, and it's guided perpetually by the Holy Spirit. The church is not any one individual. It's not the Pope, and the Pope is not the church. It's not the bishops, and the bishops are not the church, or the priests, or the deacons, or the religious, or the seminarians, or even the laity. In part, in whole, as individuals, we are not the church. In part or in whole, we do not define what the church is. And the church's existence does not rest or depend on us. It doesn't begin with us. It doesn't end with us. As I said, it is not a human enterprise. But so many people think so. They only look at the human element and forget about the supernatural. There is something bigger than just ourselves. It goes back to God. I will tell you what the church is, though. It is the body of Christ. It is the bride of Christ. The church is a people, all of us, brought into communion by the call of Christ to be baptized in his name. As Jesus tells us, you did not choose me, I chose you to go forth and to bear fruit. Called to be baptized in his name, we're also to be fed by his body and blood in the Eucharist, to be filled with his Holy Spirit. So called, washed, anointed, and filled with the Holy Spirit, fed by his body and blood, to go and preach the gospel of salvation in Christ by our words and by our deeds. We are a people who are made one. We each have particular vocations as priests, as religious, as bishops, popes, etc. We have our particular vocations, but all of us together as one to bring Christ to the world and to bring the world to Christ. That's exactly why the church exists. To bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. For that to happen, it requires every one of us to come to know Christ intimately and lovingly, to love Christ, to serve Christ, to desire Christ, and to prefer nothing whatsoever to the love of Christ. It means for us to love truth and to live in the truth, to seek the truth and to live it honestly. The church is the people of the way, the people of the truth, the people of life. Christ is our head. We are his body. And truly, we are members of that body eternally. A member who separates himself from Christ is not part of that body. Apart from the body, apart from Christ. Apart from Christ, apart from the body. The church, however, is a gift from God that's meant to bring grace, to bring healing, to bring peace, to teach the unknowing, to elevate the downtrodden, to bring joy to the sorrowful, to bring dignity to the discouraged. You and I, as members of his body, are sent by Christ to transform this world of ours for the good. But that can only happen if Christ lives in every one of us, and we live in him. Today, as we celebrate this great feast of the Lord's body and blood, Corpus Christi, as you come to the table of the Eucharist, let the Eucharist that you receive truly be a reminder of everything that you are, that you are a member of his body, that you are consciously giving yourself to him who gives himself to you. Christ living in you, you living in Christ, faithful until the end. I promise you, if every pope, if every bishop, if every priest, every deacon, every religious, every seminarian, every layperson would know and understand this and believe this, and if everyone acted on this belief, we could truly be changed into the very presence of Jesus Christ, just as the bread and wine are changed on the altar. If that were to happen, imagine the great impact that we would have on this world. Yes, we sin. We know that. All have sinned and have fallen short of God's glory. And that is why we need the church. That is why we need Christ. This is why we need to come week after week to hear his message, why we need to receive his sacraments, why we need to pray, why we need to worship, why we need to develop a strong, loving relationship with him. It's because we are sinners and we cannot save ourselves. Without him, without what he gives us, we throw ourselves headlong into death and destruction. As he himself reminds us, without him, we can do nothing. The church as a human institution and its members has failed and failed many times. But Christ, the cornerstone of the church, has not and cannot fail. He loves the church. He forgives our sins. As he did with the woman caught in adultery, he lifts us up from the ground, gets us up off our knees. He does not condemn, but he forgives. But he also commands, go and sin no more. So, my brothers and sisters, pray for our Holy Father, Pope Francis. Pray for Bishop Desitel and all bishops. Pray for all priests, especially those who are hurting and those who have hurt the church. Pray for all the deacons and religious likewise who are hurting and have hurt others. Pray for those who are preparing for priesthood. Pray for one another, your families, your fellow parishioners, your brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church. Pray for your fellow believers in Christ, that we can fulfill Christ's own prayer, that we may be one as he and the Father are one, and that we may be holy, and that we may, without fail, now and forever, truly be the body of Christ.